practice or that they may teach. A very fundamental first principle kind of studies. Tonight we want to talk about the simple question of why we believe one is not saved by faith alone. Much of our religious friends and several religious groups teach and preach, and is a part of their official doctrine, so to speak, that one is saved by faith alone without any other conditions. Some hold to the concept consistently that one is saved by faith alone. That's what they teach, that's what they insist. There are others who say they believe in faith only, and yet they still believe that repentance is essential. Their way of harmonizing that is one of two methods. One is they say repentance and faith are joined together so that when you do one, you do the other. So that when you believe, you have automatically repented. Others say that repentance comes before faith. And so it is, you're saved by faith alone, but again, they're joined together and that they are inseparable so that when you believe, you have repented. And so they say, well, I believe in salvation by faith alone, but repentance is still a part of that. Seems inconsistent, but nonetheless, that's what they may teach. Here is a sampling of those who may believe the doctrine of salvation by faith alone. One of the two or three different church manuals, and whether or not you're aware of it or not, most denominations will have a creed book. And you may go talk to the people who are part of that church, and they say, no, we don't have a creed. I've never seen the creed. We've never been handed a creed. I've never been told about a creed. If they'll go talk to their pastor, he may at first say they don't have a creed, but if you press him, he'll finally produce a creed and he'll say, yeah, well, we do have this creed. One of the ones that the Baptist Church uses is Pendleton's Manual. Hiscox is another. Pendleton's Manual on page 48 says that we believe that the gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in him is justification. That justification includes the pardon of sin and the promise of eternal life on principles of righteousness that is bestowed not on the consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but notice they say, but solely through faith in the blood, in the Redeemer's blood. Salvation is solely through faith. Here's another church manual, the book, discipline book of the Methodist Church, says that wherefore we are justified by faith only, is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. It is a doctrine that we take comfort in, that one is saved by faith alone. Many of our religious friends hold to the same. Those who make this contention say that every passage that mentions salvation by faith means faith alone. They do not contend that there is any passage that says faith alone. They just say that's what it means. For example, Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. The text simply says you're justified by faith, but they tell us that means justification by faith alone. Furthermore, they say that if one is not saved by faith alone, then therefore that means one is saved by works. And Ephesians 2 says we are not saved by works, so therefore we are saved by faith alone. And that's the contention and the argument basically that they make. So let's raise the question tonight, why we believe that one is not saved by faith alone. No one present believes you're saved by faith alone, but perhaps you'll learn some fundamental principles that you can use to talk to your friends and neighbors. Here's the first reason. We do not believe one is saved by faith alone because the Bible says it is not by faith alone. Let's open our Bibles to a very simple passage. We're going to look at three verses in the second chapter of the book of James. James chapter 2 and in verse 24 says, you see then how that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Now, we just read from Pendleton's Manual that we're talking about justification. That's the blessing that is secured in Christ through the Redeemer's blood that they mention. And they said it comes solely through faith. But James said one is justified, that's what we're talking about, being justified by works and not by faith alone or faith only. In fact, that's the only time the term faith only is used in the New Testament, and it says it's not by faith only. Interesting, Martin Luther produced a work that was saying that one is saved by faith alone, and you can find that on the internet, that Salvation by Faith Alone by Martin Luther. And interesting that he thought the book of James was not inspired of God. Why did he think it wasn't inspired of God? Because it taught salvation is not by faith alone, so it can't be inspired. That was the reason on which he rejected it. James 2 and verse 17 said that thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith alone is a dead faith. who said so. James did. Look at verse 26 of the same chapter. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so then faith without works is dead also. So just as a body without the spirit is dead, so then faith without works is dead also. So two verses said that faith alone is a dead faith. So if one is saved by faith alone, they're saved by a dead faith. And James said in verse 24, it is not by faith alone. Here's the second reason. We do not believe that one is saved by faith alone because we can find examples of believers in the Bible that were still lost, even though they had faith, even faith in Christ. For example, James chapter 2 and in verse 19, we were just there at verse 24 and in verse 17 and in verse 26. So right in the middle of all of that context about a dead faith and about faith without works is dead, and it is not by faith alone, right in the middle of that, verse 19 said that even the devils believed and trembled. Some translation will say the demons believe and tremble. So the point is that if one is saved by dead faith in its context, if one is saved by dead faith, even the demons and the devils, while they're continuing to be demons and devils, would be saved because they had faith. They had a dead faith. Even the devils believe and tremble. But let's also consider John 8. This ought to be familiar to us because we just came through John 8 recently in our study of the Gospel of John. John 8, here was a conflict that Jesus had with the Jews. And I want you to notice in verse 31, the text says they believed him. The Jews believed Christ. The King James said they believed on Christ. Here were those who believed on Christ. Well, now verse 44 said these same people were called children of the devil. They do the works of their father, the devil. The works of your father you will do. He is a liar from the beginning. Now, what I learned from that is that here are those who are children of the devil, yet they were believers. Were they saved? Verse 44 says they weren't, and yet they were believers on Christ. So faith alone does not save. Let's turn over to the 12th chapter. This is a chapter we'll get to in our Sunday morning Bible studies next week. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, there were many of the rulers who believed in him. Same wording that we find over in chapter 8. But they believed in him, but because the Pharisees, they did not confess him lest they be put out of the synagogue. They believed on Christ, but they would not allow their faith to become active, and they wouldn't acknowledge they believed in Christ, but secretly and privately they believed in Christ. They believed that indeed he was one who could work the miracles that he did. So what I learned from those three passages is that if one is saved by faith alone, then all of those would be saved. Demons would be saved. Those children of the devil would be saved, John chapter 8. And those who would not confess or acknowledge him would indeed be saved. Here's another reason. Why do we believe that one is not saved by faith alone? Because the Bible requires other conditions. All I have to find in the Bible is just one more condition. And it teaches salvation is not by faith alone. Well, the Bible tells me that repentance is required. The Bible mentions repentance. Acts 2 and verse 38, you are familiar with the passage. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 11 and verse 18, concerning the household of Cornelius, they were granted repentance unto life. Repentance is essential to life. It's essential to the remission of sins. Chapter 17, on Mars Hill, Paul preached that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. Because of judgment to come, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, repentance and faith are not the same. Faith has to do with an acknowledgement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We just noticed examples of those who had faith, but they didn't repent. John 8 is a case in point. John 12 is another case in point. James chapter 2 is another case in point. So here were people who believed, but they did not automatically repent. If they would, they would have confessed him in John 12, 42. So repentance and faith are not the same thing. So for those who say that repentance and faith are joined together so that when you do one, you automatically do the other, they just missed the boat on that because they're not the one and the same. They're not the same thing at all. So I have found another condition that is required, and if repentance is required, it's not by faith alone. We noticed in our last study that baptism is required because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2 and verse 38 says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. If God requires anything more than faith, then salvation is not by faith alone. That's what we're trying to show. So let's just eliminate baptism from the discussion. Just the fact that repentance is required tells me that indeed one is not saved by faith alone. Here's a fourth principle. Why do we believe one is not saved by faith alone? Because this doctrine has some very serious consequences. This doctrine has some very serious consequences. For example, it would mean if one is saved by faith alone that repentance is not essential. We've already shown they're not the one and the same. And since they're not one and the same, Consequently, that if it's by faith alone, then there is no repentance required. So one could be saved without repenting. Acts 2:38 says it's essential. Acts 11 says it's essential unto life. Acts 17 said God's commanding all men everywhere indeed to repent. And yet many think that it is required. Even those who say one must have, but one is saved by faith alone, will also sometimes say, well, repentance is also required. Well, if it's faith alone, then there is no repentance. It would also mean that praying through for salvation at the mourner's bench would not be essential. Many of those who talk about salvation is by faith alone will give the altar call in their service. What's the altar call? Well, the altar call is where you encourage people to come and accept Jesus in your heart and pray the sinner's prayer that you might be saved. Now, you won't find the sinner's prayer at all in the New Testament, but you will find it among denominationalists that you are to come and pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you get on the mourner's bench and you beg and you plead until finally you convince God to save you. Some will immediately get up because they have received some kind of notion from God that then God has saved them. Others may beg and plead and leave and they weren't saved. They have to come back and do that again. And so they beg and they plead until finally they convince God to save them. And so they come to the mourner's bench and they talk about praying through for salvation. Well, if one is saved by faith alone, then praying is not required. And yet they believe, many of them believe praying indeed is required. If one is saved by faith alone, obedience is not required. And let's notice some simple passages that talk about obedience. Let's start to Matthew 7 and verse 21. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You can cry, Lord, Lord, showing you have faith. You won't enter the kingdom. But the one who does the will of the Father does enter into the kingdom. You are familiar with Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that Christ, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Not to those who have faith alone, but to those that obey him. Well, one more passage along that line. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So obedience was required for the saving of their souls and the purifying of their souls. But if one is saved by faith alone, then obedience is not required. Here's a fifth principle. If the Bible says we're saved by works, then it's not by faith alone. And so let's spend a little time talking about how the Bible says we are saved by works. Let's open our Bibles and let's familiarize ourselves with passages that talk about works. There are a number of passages. We understand the truth, but quite often when those who do understand the truth get to wrestling with passages that talk about works, they get confused. What are these passages actually saying? Is this one saying the same thing that one is over there? What kind of works are under consideration in this context? So let's open our Bibles and let's consider passages that say indeed we are saved by works. Starting in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 40, Peter exhorted them, having told them to repent and be baptized, in verse 38, he exhorted them with many other words, save yourselves from this perverse generation. There was a sense in which they saved themselves. That's not that they are the Savior. They die for themselves and shed the blood for themselves. But they take the responsibility upon themselves. And that is, they had to respond and do what he had told them in verse 37. Verse 41 said they did the very same thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 10 now and in verse 35. This is the case of the first sermon to the household of Cornelius, to the Gentiles. And he said, but in every nation, he that feareth God and works righteousness is accepted of him. The one that God accepts is the one that works righteousness. We indeed are saved by works. Well, let's turn to another passage. You might be thinking, well, I know of passages that say we're not saved by works. We'll come to those in just a moment. We're just trying to establish some passages that say indeed we are saved by works. Philippians 2 and in verse 12. Philippians 2 says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but also much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. It's a word that alludes to the concept of working a math problem. And you work it out, you carry it out to its full end. You continue to work it out till its completion, until it's full. And so work out your own salvation. We've already considered James 2 and in verse 24, how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So what we've established from these few verses is that we are saved by works. But let's open our Bibles now to some other passages that are not contradictory at all, but they say we're not saved by works. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 3 and in verse 28. Romans chapter 3 And in verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds, or one translation will say the works of the law. So one is saved by faith apart from works. So we're not saved by works. Ephesians 2 and in verse 10. Verse 8 it said, by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, verse 9 said, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by works. Well, let's notice one more before we draw some conclusions, and that's in chapter 2 of the book of Galatians and in verse 16, parallel, by the way, to Romans 3. But Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 16, knowing that a man is justified, not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. So here are a number of passages that say you're not saved by works. Well, let's make some consideration of that by considering the fact the Bible says there are different kinds of works. The Bible says there are a number of kinds of works. We won't read all of these passages. But the Bible talks about works of man's righteousness. That is, works wherein we might earn our salvation. The Bible also talks about works of the law of Moses. We read those two passages, Galatians 2 and Romans chapter 3. So here's works of man's righteousness, works of the law of Moses. There's works of faith. Paul commended the Thessalonians because of their work of faith. There are works that are called good works. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14. Ephesians 2 and in verse 10. This is the work of God that you believe. So there are the works that are the works of God. There's works of God's righteousness, we saw in the sermon that was preached to the household of Cornelius. So there are different kinds of works. So when we see passages that say you're not saved by works, here are passages that say we are saved by works. They can be harmonized because they're different kinds of works. Now, let's talk about the works that we're not saved by. We are not saved by the works of the law of Moses. That is to go back and keep the deeds of the law. To do that, Leviticus 18 and verse 5 said, if you keep the law perfectly, you would be saved. In fact, you wouldn't be saved. You never would have been lost if you kept the law perfectly. You have no sin to separate you from God. And so, Leviticus 18 and verse 5 said you could be saved in that sense if you kept the law perfectly. No one could and no one did. So there's the works of the law. There's the works of man's righteousness, that is, wherein I earn my salvation because I have lived a perfect life. Well, that's a kind of work, but we're not saved by that. We're not saved by dead works. Hebrews 9 and verse 14 and chapter 6 and in verse 1. But we are saved by the following kinds of works. By the works of God. By the way, faith is a work. John chapter 6, 28 and 29. We're saved by the works of God's righteousness, not our own. We're saved by the works that are good works. Ephesians 2 and in verse 10. And Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14. And we're saved by works of faith that we read about in Thessalonians in chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 3. So we're saved by works. Not all kinds of works, but the kinds of works that God has spelled out. And if we are saved by any kind of work, even faith itself is a work. But if we're saved by works, that is obedient works and works of righteousness, then it is not by faith alone. Well, finally, let's give consideration to this. We believe that one is not saved by faith alone because sometimes the word faith includes other acts of obedience. The Bible can talk about faith. And when it mentions faith, that is a, like many other terms and expressions, sometimes the Bible will use a common figure of speech wherein a part stands for the whole. That's called synecdoche. It's where a part stands for the whole. We use that figure of speech all the time. We may not go around saying, well, I'm fixing to use a form of figure of speech and I'm fixing to use a synecdoche here. We don't use that, but we do use that figure of speech all the time where we mention a part that stands for a whole. The Bible does that quite often. Let me give you some examples of that. 1 John 5 and verse 1, that the one who believes is born of God. Now, even our friends who want to talk about salvation by faith only, unless they're real strict faith only folks, are probably people who believe that they have to repent, even if it's joined with faith, and may even have to go to the altar and pray. They believe there's more than just faith. But that's all that's mentioned in 1 John 5 and verse 1. What does it mean by believe and you're born of God? Believe stands for other acts. And we'll see that in just a few moments. Romans 5 and verse 1, the same principle is used. Therefore, being justified by faith, I would ask my friend, do you think that that means faith without any other condition? Well, yeah, that means faith only. Well, what about repentance? Well, anytime they try to bring repentance into that, they're telling me that faith stands for other acts of obedience as well. It is inclusive. It's where a part stands for the whole. Let me give you another example. This one perhaps is even clearer. In Acts chapter 11, in verse 18, God had granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. Did not mention faith at all, did it? Now, if I believed in faith only, I've got to grapple with that passage. God has granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. Well, is it repentance only? You don't have to believe. You just have to change your mind with reference to sin. You just have to say, I wished I hadn't have done that. But you don't have to believe in Christ. You can reject Him. All you have to do is repent. Oh, no, there's more than repentance required. Because repentance is standing for all that God would require. Well, let me give you another example of that. James 5 in verse 25. The one that would hear, those that are dead, spiritually dead, he's talking about, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They don't have to believe. Oh, yeah, they have to believe. But didn't say believe, just say they that hear shall live. Well, we understand the word hear stands for hearing and accepting and believing. That's called synecdoche. It's a figure of speech wherein, a common figure of speech, where a part stands for the whole. Now, let me show you from the Old and New Testament that sometimes the word faith or the word believe stands for obedience. Let's start in the Old Testament, Numbers 20, verses 11 and 12. This is a familiar story to us. Do you remember where God told Moses to speak to the rock and it would bring forth water? Verse 11 says, then Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. God said, speak to the rock. But he struck the rock, and that tells me that Moses disobeyed. But notice the next verse. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, because you did not believe me. What does it mean, you didn't believe? This verse told us he disobeyed. God said, speak. He struck. That's disobedience. But when God approached him about it, he said, because you did not believe me. Here the word believe is referring to his obedience and disobedience. You didn't obey me is what you did not do. Let me give you another example where that's done. Romans 10 and in verse 16. I don't know of a passage where it's any clearer than in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 16. Paul's point is concerning Israel, that he wished that they could be saved. Verse 1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He gives four reasons in the context as to why they're in their lost condition. And at this juncture, he said, they have not all obeyed the gospel. But he's going to give some proof of that. All through the book of Romans, particularly in this chapter, he will quote from some Old Testament reference to back up what he's saying. And this time, he quotes from Isaiah. And what did Isaiah say? Well, Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Wait a minute, Paul, wait a minute. I thought you were going to talk about obedience. They have not all obeyed, you said. And you're going to give proof and quote from Isaiah. But what Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? What I learned from that, he uses the word belief synonymous with obedience. They didn't obey. Just like Isaiah said, they didn't believe. Believe and obedience are synonymous in that context. You say, is he talking about faith only? No, belief stands for obedience there. It includes other acts of obedience because it is faith that leads to obedience. And that's a figure of speech where a part stands for the whole. Salvation by faith can and does include salvation by repentance and baptism. You say, how do you know? Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. You remember in verse 43, in preaching to the household of Cornelius? Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, in preaching to the household of Cornelius, having said God is no respecter of persons, in every nation he that feareth God and works righteousness, he done told him he had to work righteousness in order to be accepted of him. And then he says in verse 43, this is Peter preaching to him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins. Now, he didn't mention repentance. He said, you believe on him, you shall receive the remission of sins. But he told him earlier he had to work righteousness. Well, now look at verse 18 of chapter 11. This is when Peter goes to Jerusalem and rehearses it by order. And when he tells those Jewish brethren, when they listen, they draw the conclusion, then hath God granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. They said the Gentiles can repent and live. They didn't mention faith. But Peter didn't mention repentance. Does that mean that they could choose to do one or the other? They could either repent or they could believe. No. Faith or belief in Acts 10 includes the repentance of Acts chapter 11. The repentance of Acts chapter 11 includes the faith. Not saying they're synonymous, it's where a part stands for the whole. That's a figure of speech used all through the Bible. Let me give you another example. We noticed last week that Galatians 3 says you are the children of God by faith. Does it mean faith only? No. He goes on to say, for, here's the reason to follow, you have been baptized. That's how they were the children of God by faith. So what I learned from that is, just like faith here includes this repentance, faith here includes baptism. So faith can stand for other acts of obedience, and it does. You say, prove it. Well, Acts 10:43 is one case. Galatians chapter 3 is another case. And any other case wherein faith may be mentioned. Well, that's just a sampling. But that gives us an idea of the simple answer to the question of why we believe that one is saved, not saved, by faith alone. You already knew that you were not saved by faith alone, but perhaps in struggling to talk to your friend or neighbor, you wondered, how do I make this point in talking to my friend or neighbor that we are not saved by faith alone? Here's what I would tell them. I would show them that the Bible says it is not by faith alone. I would secondly show that indeed some believers are still lost, therefore it's not by faith alone. The Bible requires other conditions. The fact that it requires repentance says it's not by faith alone. This has some serious consequences. And furthermore, we are saved by works. There are different kinds of works. And then we also see that faith includes other acts of obedience. That's why we believe that one is not saved by faith alone. There may be one or more present this evening who's not a Christian, who's not a child of God. You may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not saved by that faith alone. You're saved when that faith becomes obedient and it acts. Would you act upon that faith? Come believing that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, acknowledge the faith that you have, and then be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of